Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.
Ghar se dola chala ladli ka, kya nazara hai ye zindagi ka. Ghar se dola chala ladli ka, kya nazara hai ye zindagi ka. Kitne nazo se pala tha humne, har tarah se sambhala tha humne. Haaye humse juda ho rahi hai, haaye humse juda ho rahi hai. Ghar ki yaadon mein wo kho rahi hai. Aaj babul ka rona na poocho, aur maa ka tarapna na poocho. Aaj babul ka rona na poocho, aur maa ka tarapna na poocho. Ghar se dola chala ladli ka, kya nazara hai ye zindagi ka. Pyari pyari wo guriya bichhuti, pyari pyari wo guriya bichhuti. Haaye bachpan ki safiya bichhuti. Suna suna hua ghar ka aagan, le gaya usko saajan. Suna suna hua ghar ka aagan.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. 6 minutes after 11 Central African time. It's a beautiful Tuesday morning here in Johannesburg. My name is Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia. And of course, our beloved senior respected honorable Fadilatul Ustad, Hazrat Malana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein Hafizahullah. It's the 4th of Rajab, 1442, which is also the 16th of Feb 2021. I want to welcome my beloved listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Asmal and Company, and I want to welcome my beloved listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Of course, let's welcome our beloved engineer, Brother Bonface. Remember, my beloved listeners, our WhatsApp number 084-786-3132. International overseas listeners, +27 +27 84 786 3132. Let's welcome our beloved Ustad into the program. Ustad, welcome to the program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa arafat. Jazakallahu khairan.
I see a listener says, dear Mufti Saab, I was in my stepson's life from the age of 2 years old. Recently, the father and I separated. He is now 11 years old and we are very close to each other. He wants to come live with me full time, but his father is totally against it. Do I have any rights over him even though I am not his biological mom? His bio mom is a drug addict and is in rehab. Ustad.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihil kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Here in reality, there are three questions. Question number one is this, that you, the stepmother and the stepson, that are you and him, is he a mahram for you? Yes, he is a mahram for you, because Almighty Allah states, وَلَا تَنْكِحُوا مَا نَكَحَ آبَاءُكُمْ مِنَ النِّسَى. You cannot marry a lady who your father got married to. So now it is 10, 15, 20 years that have passed. He is 15 years old or whatever you or more. So remember, he will be your mahram, and you will be that you can never marry him. There's no laws of hijab and parda between the two of you. So that's one situation. Second is that you and your husband, his father, so now you have separated. So in a case like that, now he wants to live by you. So who has the greatest say? You say that his biological mother is in the rehab because of drugs and so forth. So obviously he can't go there. So now it leaves us with a biological father. If the biological father is a person, remember that he is practicing on Sharia and so forth, definitely he will have more rights compared to you. And if the nani means his biological mother's mother, the maternal grandmother, if they are alive and the family is alive that side, so for example the Masi, the Kala, that is his mother's sister, then they will have the right of custody over him. So remember what is in the best interest of the child, and that should take place. So that will be the response to that query.
Somebody wants to know, Ustad, does looking at one another's aura while having intercourse weakens one's memory, Ustad?
Remember, that is written in some books, but it's not authentic. You must remember that. If you open Hidayah is the book written by Allama Marghinani, and in the Hashia, that is on the marginal notes of it, the Masla has been asked. So you must remember, in there it's mentioned that to look at the private part is permissible. There's no parda between husband and wife. And to say that it'll weaken the memory, that's not 100% correct. To weaken the memory happens when you involve in vices and sins. And to look at the private part, you must remember, is not a sin. So therefore, we will say that that is not authentic. Yes, from a taqwa point of view and so forth, Hazrat Aisha, our mother Siddiqa, she states, Ma ra'aytu farja Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qattu. I never saw the private part of the Master alayhi salatu salam. So that is now taqwa and piety and precaution. But from fatwa point of view, you must remember, it is something that is permissible.
Anonymous says, Dear Mufti Saab, I am a driver for a very affluent family, Mufti Saab. My boss is hardly home. His wife is having an affair, and very often I have to drive her to him on the pretext of her going shopping. So Mufti Saab, do I say something or turn a blind eye? She threatened to make my life hell if I open my mouth. I don't know what to do. Anonymous Ustad.
Here there are three issues. Issue number one is, Almighty Allah teaches us, وَلَا تَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ, that you cannot cooperate in sin and transgression. Second one, that when you have the rich families and affluent families, so the life they lead is that the husband leads his own life, the wife leads her own life. In many cases, not all cases, obviously. So this is what happened here. So for you to drive her, even if she's going to the shop and you're alone, that also is haram. You must remember that, because you are a total stranger to her and she's a stranger to you. And Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يخلون رجل بمرأتين إلا وثالثهما الشيطان. Whenever there's a strange male and female, they're totally alone. So you in front and she's at the back, she's the madam and you the driver, the chauffeur. So remember, the third party there will be the shaitan. And now if you have to drive her to her lover's place and her, you understand, Romeo's place and Casanova's place and what have you, so obviously that is absolutely haram. So you got three, four options. Option number one, you resign from this job. You don't want to be part and parcel of this haram. Second option you got is you inform your boss, and that is her husband, that this is what's going on. Third one, she's trying to intimidate you and blackmail you and so forth. So you must remember, you must not worry about that, because your aim must be to make amal bin ma'ruf, nahi anil munkar, that you must command the good and forbid the evil. So you must decide what to do, whether you want to stay in this job or not. You make istikhara, but you must remember, taking a year and day for haram places and so forth, all that is also haram, and you become an accomplice in that if you remain silent. Allah Jalla Wala protect us. And today, remember, zina, fornication, adultery has become so rife and rampant, never mind non-Muslims, in the lives of Muslims as well. Therefore, I think this morning also, or yesterday in Q&A, I told you, read the dua, Allahumma hassin farji, O Almighty Allah, protect my private part. Remember that today, that this has become, like now it's normal, people have affairs, so what's the big deal? So astaghfirullah, remember that in Islam, for adultery is a death penalty, and for fornication, where the boy, girl, both of them, one of them not married, then it's 100 lashes, and this is in the Quran Sharif, Surah chapter 24, Surah Nur, verse 2, Fajlidu kulla wahidin min umamiyata jalda, give them 100 lashes each, and show and do that in the public. The Muslims, the people must come witness it. So the punishment must be a deterrent and must not be considered as something light as is happening nowadays. Allah Jalla Wala protect us from all these type of vices.
Ameen. Let's go to Pumalanga, Ustad. Listener says, dear Mufti Saab, my parents fixed me to a man in order to strengthen family business ties. We got married last year, Jan, Ustad. Till now, the marriage is not consummated. He does not return my call and completely ignores me. His parents do the same. What is the way forward in such a situation? Anonymous Ustad.
Obviously, it's a very, very abnormal situation that your parents were not looking at your happiness. They were looking at how to enrich themselves. So they married you to this person here. Yeah, the way it seems, maybe you were even went as a second wife or third wife, or maybe the first wife, we don't know. But anyway, that is very abnormal. You got married a year ago, last year, January, and now in February. This is 1 year, and now you say in that 1 year the marriage is not consummated, and it seems you're leading totally separate lives. You say when you contact him, then he doesn't answer the call and so forth and so on. So what does it mean? It means that you must remember that you are in a different place, he's in a different place. So in a situation like that, number one, you must have a heart-to-heart meeting with your parents first and tell them what was your motive and intention for getting me married to ABC person. And they must be forthright and honest, and they must say that their intention was not your happiness, but it was to get better business deals, or maybe they will get money out of him and so forth and so on. So JC Niyat Vesi Barkat. So whatever the intention is, that's the result you will see. So they are to blame in this regard. Second one is this: you must set up a meeting with your husband and ask him what does he really want, because 1 year has passed. You must remember, our job is jorna, not torna, to make the home and not break the home. But if not interested, then he must release you. Why can you stay in a marriage like this, where it is no husband-wife relationship, you don't live together, nothing, you're both like total strangers to one another. And third one is this, that if he doesn't want to give you a talaq, then go to your local ulama or the organizations you have confidence in, the jamiyat or whoever else, and any organization or ulama you have confidence in, and apply, you must remember, for a fasakh and annulment of marriage. So all these options are open to you. But again, remember, therefore, in Islam we say, look for someone who's pious for your daughter. Don't look at the wealth and so forth. Now look at here, the way the question is posed, the parents were only looking at the wealth, and the 1 year passed, and this lady is leading a miserable her life. She doesn't know whether she's going to go back or not. And that is what Quran says, kal muallaqa. She's like a suspended lady. So imagine the things which Quran shows us, we go do the direct opposite of it. So how can we find peace, tranquility, happiness in that? So parents, you are also to bear, to blame in this case here. Yeah? And therefore, you also need to interact now with your daughter and with your son-in-law. And obviously, you need to reach some finality on this issue.
So the sister says, my mother-in-law is very controlling and possessive, Ustad. My husband is not allowed to leave the house or take me out anywhere without her permission. I can't even dress up for him without her throwing a fit, saying it's un-Islamic to dress up. So Muftisab, she expects us, it says here, to sleep with the door open and barges in when she feels like without knocking on the door. His excuse is that she is old. He is the only son. I am done with this mama's boy, Muftisab. Please advise me.
But obviously, you know, I find all these type of things really amazing, you know, that when you went to propose for this lady here and so forth, or you knew that this proposal came, and it's not that yesterday only he was the only son. When you married him 1 year, 5 years, 2 years ago, so at that time also he was the only son, and you knew he has his mother and so forth. So didn't you discuss these issues, that will you live separate, will you live together, and so forth and so on. So be that as it may, now what is the current situation, what must we do to redress and address this issue for the future? So you have to tell your husband that I'm taking your permission, I want to go to my parents' house or whatever. You go there and then you stay by your parents' house and tell him that you will only come back, remember, if he gives you separate bedroom, separate kitchen, separate house. He can be attached, you must remember, to where his mother is living, or you'll have like a duplex, or you have a granny flat or an outbuilding or whatever. So in that way, you entitled to your privacy and she got no right to dictate your life and so forth. So you must remember, your husband also now is getting like a small child. So you must remember, how can you be sleeping with your door open like that? So, and she can barge in any time. So obviously, sometimes common sense is not common, you know. So remember that these are things that he is to blame, your husband is to blame also. But you must realize what your Islamic rights are. You can demand, not only request, you can demand. You want a separate house, you want a separate flat or a separate outbuilding or whatever your husband can afford. And there's no need for you to stand for all these tantrums that your mother-in-law is doing and so forth, and making your life miserable. If you dress up for your husband, what she have to poke her big nose into your matters? So obviously she seems to be a bit, you know, over controlling and dominating over her son, and she's not really prepared to let go of her son. So that is also unacceptable. Remember that Kala, you must let your son and your daughter-in-law lead their own life, and you must stay out of all these issues.
So Ustaz, what are the general lessons that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to learn from a divorce, as marriage is a great act of workshop and sunnah, Ustaz?
Remember that a person, when you get married, then you are taking wa akhadna minkum mithaqan ghaliza, surah number 4 and verse number 21, that your wives have taken from you a solemn pledge, and you have taken the witnesses, you have taken Allah's name. So it's not buying a car or a computer or a cell phone. You can just trade it in, you can just sell it and so forth. So therefore Islam has the laws of iddat and so forth, so that to maintain the sanctity and the greatness of this institution of nikah. So remember that. Now what happens is that a divorce took place. So Allah forbid, that is the worst thing. Abghadul halali ila Allah at-talaq, the most hated, detested thing which is permissible in Islam is divorce. So it must be the last resort and not the first option. Next one will be, now what must you learn? So it depends if the husband gave one or two talaq. So Quran Kareem states you can still reconcile. So fa imsakum bi ma'rufin aw tasrihum bi ihsan. Open surah 2 verses 228, 229, 230. You will find all these issues there. But if the husband gave his wife 3 talaqs, then remember, you can't reconcile, you can't remarry. She, after that, the iddah, they have to get married to somebody else. It must not be an arranged marriage that for one day and one night and one week, and then the talaq and go back to the first husband. All that is haram and not permissible, and she will not be halal for the first husband. Thereafter, Quran Kareem states, one divorce takes place, وَإِن يَتَفَرَّقَا يُغْنِ اللَّهُ كُلًّا مِّن سَعَتِي. Almighty Allah will make both parties independent of one another. That you put your trust in Allah and you continue with your life. And he must put his tawakkul and trust in Allah and continue with his life. Remember, there must be no contact amongst you. If there are children and so forth, then you must have who will have custody and who will have visitation rights and so forth and so on. So that is the lessons. But remember, we as Muslims should always try to reconcile, and divorce must not be the first and the second option. It must be the last option. So always remember that. If you are sincere, we don't say in all, but we'll say in many cases, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will let the families reconcile, as mentioned in the Quran Sharif, إِن يُرِيدَا إِصْلَاحَا يُوَفِّقِ اللَّهُ بَيْنَهُمَا. If both parties and the arbitrators come and they have good intentions, then reconciliation will take place. And Quran says, وَسُلْحُ خَيْرٌ, reconciliation is the best.
But Ustaz, I just heard and I have read an article of 3 talaqs issued in one sitting. I read it on Ask Imam Said of Camperdown. I got a question to ask you, dear Mufti Saab. All the hadiths with 3 talaqs were issued in one sitting, and where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ruled they were valid, where decisive talaq, that is 3 definite talaq, were given and divorce for 3 was intended. My question is this: if the talaq was not decisive, is it still valid and why? Ustad.
Remember that if the person gave talaq and he used the word divorce or talaq or whichever language, but it means like Afrikaans, Khaskai and so forth. So remember that he used it 3 times, whether it is fi majlis in wahid, whether it is in one time, or whether over a period of time, one in 2000, one in 2010, one in 2020. So you must remember in a case like that, all 3 talaqs take place. And Imam Bukhari himself has mentioned that 3 talaqs will be 3. So therefore there's ijma and consensus that among all 4 schools, the Shafi'is, the Malikis, the Hanafis, the Hanbalis, 3 talaq is 3. Therefore we reject any mufti, any sheikh, any imam, any organization who say that 3 talaq is 1. We don't have trinity in Islam. We say 1 is 1, 2 is 2, and 3 is 3. So that is where we stand. Second one is, if the words are not clear-cut, are not explicit, then we ask the husband what he means. He told his wife that, get out from here, pack up, take your clothing and go to your parents' house or whatever you. So he will ask him what his intention. If he say he made intention of 1 talaq is 1, if he made intention of 2 is 2, he made intention of 3 is 3, and he say he did not make intention of talaq, we will tell him, you must be honest and fear Allah, otherwise you'll be living in sin. So it all depends on the words that he use. If it is kinaya, implicit words, unclear words, then we will ask him what his intention was. But if, remember, it's clear-cut words, then we don't ask him what his intention was, because the words themselves are clear, and that will be binding, and that will be final. 3 talaq is 3. So end of the story there.
I see anonymous mother says, dear Mufti Saab, my daughter worked for Standard Bank for 6 years, but now she wants to try something else. So is there any vacancy there in Markaz Sahaba? She really loves Markaz Sahaba, Ustad. My daughter is 27 years old, Ustad.
Remember that, sister, you should tell your daughter that, remember, to work in a bank and all this is not even permissible, because your income, even for a male, remember, is not permissible. Worse in the case of a female, because the lifeline of the bank, you must remember, is what we will say, that interest. And then her wages will also be partly interest, partly this, partly that. So the income also is tainted, contaminated. contaminated. So the best thing for her is she's 27 years old. She must start getting worried of getting married now. There's no need for her to get work and so forth here and there. So in a case like that, she must read 2 rakat salat, and she must make tawbah for working in the bank, and she must read 2 rakat salat, make multiple intention, Ya Allah, send someone good for me, so I settle down. Surah 25, verse 74, Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun. O Allah, grant us our spouses, and grant us our children that are the coolness of the eyes. You see, if you're going to work here and there, so you must remember, in a case like that, you will have to miss your salat, you will have to wear special uniform, you will have to interact with a man. All these things are haram for you, sister. So you must be the one to sit at home and do something from your house. Learn how to make rotis, how to make bhajiyas and samosas. Learn some home skills, domestic skills. And worry about, now you're 27 years old, that you should be getting married and settling down. That is what Islam will tell you at this time and this circumstances.
I see somebody says here, I would like to remain anonymous, Ustaz, strictly anonymous. I am very distraught and in shock. I found out my husband has been doing halala behind my back, dear respected Muftizab. He books into hotel rooms and has secret nikahs to do this. We have 6 kids together. I don't know what to do. His excuse is that he is saving couples from zina. Ustad.
You must remember that I told you just now that people will use the Quran Sharif, they will use the Sharia for their own deviant means and ulterior motives. Therefore, Almighty Allah states, Yudillu bihi kathira wa yahdi bihi kathira. That you must remember that through this Quran Sharif and through this Wahi and Revelation, people will go astray. And many people will receive hidayat also. And this is mentioned in Surah 2, chapter 2, verse number 26. So remember that. So he might be a Maulana, he might be Imam, he might be a Muftisab, he might be a Sheikh, Allah alone knows. But what he doing is totally haram. So he that forgot the hadith, you know, you call it selective amnesia. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam's authentic hadith mentioned in Tirmidhi, La'an Allahul Muhallila wal Muhallila, that he is becoming the one making this wife halal for her first husband, and then he uses her one night, two nights, stay, whatever, and he has a good time with her, and thereafter you must remember that he then divorces her. All this is arranged, and after it, then she goes back to the first husband. So he is cursed by Almighty Allah, and these type of so-called nikah, mock nikah, are totally haram and not permissible. And therefore, according to the Shafi'is, Maliki's, Hanbali's, she is not halal for the first husband. And the Hanafi school also, we pass the fatwa and verdict according to Sahibain, Imam Abu Yusuf, Imam Muhammad, Rahimahullah's verdict, and she's not halal. And your husband has become a person in Islamic terminology, khabith, impure, immoral, remember that. So for him, it's a nice game he's playing, that this man, this he waiting for who's giving their wife 3 talaq, and I'm available, don't worry, I will sort out things. Then he books in the hotel, she will pay, that first husband will pay, and so forth, and then he's having a good time with her. So remember, this is very similar to what the kuffar Shias do. Khomeini wrote in Tawdihul Masahil that you can have mut'ah with a lady for 1 hour. I have the book by me, they gave it to me. So you must remember, therefore we say the Shias are kuffar, not only because of this reason, 101 reasons. So your husband, now he is skating on thin ice. He's still a Muslim, but he's making a mockery of the Islamic law. So my advice to you will be that you should make istikhara, whether you should be staying with such a khabith and such an impure, immoral husband, or you should walk away because you got 6 children. If it's my daughter, my sister, Allah forbid, I will tell them to walk away. Why must you stay with such a shaitan and immoral person? That you must remember, you came to know only now, and he will tell you it happened with 2 ladies, 4 ladies. Remember that it might happen with much more ladies. So when people get exposed, then it's after a long time. And therefore, and now he's not only that, showing remorse or regret, he's even trying to justify it. No, I'm saving people from zina. What you're doing is 100% zina also, my brother. Therefore, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La ana Allah wal muhallil wal muhallal lahu, that Allah's curse is on you, the person who made the halala, and you're trying to legalize it for the first husband. And he, that first husband, the ex-husband, he's also cursed, because all this was a contract, an arrangement they both made. So you must remember that. And not only that, sometimes you even collect money from them. So that is how these people operate. They don't have shame, they don't have haya. Therefore, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحْيِي فَاسْنَعْ مَا شِئْتَ. When you don't have haya, shame and modesty, you will do whatever you want to. And the hadith in Musnad Ahmad, Mishkat Sharif. Oh, another hadith comes to mind. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الْإِيمَانَ وَالْحَيَاءَ قُرَنَاهُ جَمِيعًا. Iman, our faith, our conviction, and shame, modesty, morality are 2 partners together. إِذَا رُفِيَ أَحَدُهُمَا رُفِيَ الْآخَرُ. When one disappears, the other will disappear. So his haya, shame is gone already. He's tired of you. Now I didn't use you. You 6 children finished now. So he's looking for new pastures. He's looking for new ones. And he says, Aitobaharu, there's no responsibility. Hit and run business. You see? Spend one night here. This time I will book in 5-star hotel. Then next time I will book in another 5-star hotel. Then third time I will book in. So he's testing the hotels and he's testing the woman also. Allah forbid. So this person here, sorry to say, sister, but your husband has become khabiz and you are tayyiba. Best to my mashura is your choice, but my mashura is best you leave such an immoral khabiz person. He's become the agent of shaitan and dajjal.
Our friend says that, why don't you tell the listeners that Khomeini, he was a good person here and he did good, dear Mufti Saab. Was he a Muslim or not? Because all Muslims will enter Jannah. Please answer my question. Was he a Muslim or not? Khomeini, Ustad.
He's a pakka kafir, what Muslim? So Khomeini and Shias are 100% kafir because they swear and curse the Sahaba. We have their books. I got Khomeini's books. I got the books of Shias. They swear, say the Bakr. They swear, say the Umar. They swear, say the Usman. They swear, say the Aisha. They swear the wives of Nabi alayhi salatu salam. So how can people like that ever go to Jannah when they're against the Quran? And remember that you say Khomeini is a good person. I gave you the reference written by Khomeini. So are you prepared to give your daughter to somebody for 1 hour? That's what Khomeini says you must do. So remember that. So how can you be a good person? So remember, we tell you clearly and boldly, and remember, we announce it. Shias are kuffar, and even if Khomeini is there with them, we will tell him. And let me tell you one more incident. In 2013, when I went, Khomeini's grandson heard about it, that I had a debate with one of their people and I beat him. You know, it became famous there. So he sent a message, he wants to meet me. So I told him, I don't meet people like you. So they were astonished. So they came and tell me, people wait here for days and days, weeks and weeks to meet him, and he wants to meet you. I said, no, I got nothing to do. But I know they will try and soften you up, that you see, my brother, we must be united, and Israel is the enemy, and America is the enemy, and so you also the enemy. So you must remember that you, I don't know, you the brother who asked question, if you know anything, there is a book written by the Shias themselves, and the book's name is Rijalul Kashi, and the author of it is No Bakhti. So you must remember, in there they write, it's Shia books. I'm not giving you our books, they are books. So the founder of Shia is Wasallam was a Jew, Abdullah bin Sabah. So remember, this was a Jewish conspiracy to weaken Islam from within. And in time of Sayyidina Usman, he came to Medina, put on the facade and, you know, a mask. You know, like today people say you have to wear mask. So he had on figuratively the mask of piety and so forth. So these are the people responsible for the murder and martyrdom of Sayyidina Usman radiallahu anhu. So you must remember, 100% kuffar they are. And I don't know if you know anything of Tehran. Tehran till today, remember, I'm not saying Iran, I'm saying the capital Tehran does not have, you must remember, a masjid for us, the Ahlul Sunnah, the Sunnis. If you go to Kashan, you will find they built a shrine. This is what they did, brother. And you're telling me the good people. So you must remember, they built a shrine, a mazar, for who? The murderer of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, who was a fire worshipper, and his name Fayruz Abu Lu'lu al-Majusi, and they wrote their Baba Shujauddin. I went myself, I saw it. Pakka, 100% Kafir, Khomeini and company.
19 minutes to 12. It's a beautiful, mashallah, Tuesday morning on our program, The Bliss of Marriage. Somebody says, Ya Ustad, if a person passes away and he has children far, is it allowed to video call and show the face of the mayor to start anonymous?
It's not permissible. We must remember that in Islam, that we have to bury the deceased as soon as possible. Thus they call in Urdu, Akhri Didar, that now you want to show the deceased face to this person, that person. Half the time the people they're showing to are not mahram. So the lady passed away and this one want to see that one. So they cannot see her because they're strange men to her. Oh, you must remember that the man passed away. Now strange woman want to look at him. So what business you got to do? Thereafter, you must remember when you make this video call and all, so you don't even know who's there and not there because everybody is so emotional. So they will tell you the daughter want to see the father. Father is here and daughter is in Hong Kong or Pakistan or India or wherever, America. So with her, how many other people are there? Since when is permissible for them to see all this? So all these are say satanic things, and what is going to help? Nothing. So you must remember that during the lifetime, they were not so bothered about the father or the mother or whoever. Ask them when last they spoke to them and so forth. So now suddenly they want to cry and they want to show up, you know, that, oh, my father passed away, this one passed away. So remember our fatwa ruling on this, definitely not permissible.
So let's go to Indonesia. The brother says here, something to this effect, Mufti Saab, that if a man intended one talak and uttered talak, 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 then that is between him and Allah. But in this world, it will be pronounced as three. I want to say something, Mufti Saab. Why is there a blanket rule even if the intention was only one talak? Are the ulama not painting everyone with the same brush, passing judgment, when in fact it is only for Allah to judge and not us? Dear Mufti Saab, Ustaz?
My brother, if you park in a loading zone, so any true policeman will come and write a ticket for you. So you will tell him that no, that I'm here because of this reason. You know you broke the law, whatever your intention is and so forth. So don't blame the ulama, don't blame the muftis and the maulanas and the sheikhs, whoever. So we pass the law. Therefore, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu used to say, don't come with this judgment. I sent it out yesterday on my Twitter account, on my Telegram, on the groups. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu used to say, we pass the verdict, nahnu nahkumu bizawahir. We pass the law according to the prima facie evidence, according to the superficial. Wallahu mutawalli sarair, a person remember, between him and Allah, that will be decided on day of Qiyamah. So if you or anybody else gave their the husband gave his wife three talaqs, then he said, is that no, I made intention for one. So that you must explain Allah. But we all will pass the fatwa that you made three talaqs and it's finished, your wife is haram for you. You pull the trigger three times, but you say no, that I made one intention. But you kill three people or you killed that one person with the three bullets. So what will you say then? What is your intention? So 101 times the whole world will go dirham, barham. There will be mayhem and chaos. So people will say, no, my intention intention was this, my intention was that. So all the courts will just fail then. So you must realize that what you are saying is a recipe for disaster, chaos and mayhem. And Islam does not allow that. Islam says, whoever you are, you must fulfill your duty with beauty.
So if a Muslim man who marries a second wife, Ustad, and abuses, oppresses and lies to her because it pleases the first wife, Ustad.
Remember, for him to get married to the second wife in the first place was haram. Therefore, I told you, man, you read the verse halfway. Surah chapter 4, verse 3. Almighty Allah states, فَانْكِحُوا مَا طَابَ لَكُم مِّنَ النِّسَاءِ مَثْنَى وَثُلَاثَ وَرُبَاءَ. That is halal for you, the man, that you get married to two wives, three wives, four wives. But it's not carte blanche. There are conditions involved. So what is the first condition? فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا. In the same verse is mentioned, if you fear you can't do justice, then one wife only. So this person here, how many lies is going to make? And just to please the first husband, the first wife and so forth. And remember, make the second wife feel miserable and ill-treat her, oppress her. So did not Almighty Allah say in Surah 4 verse 19, وَآشِرُوهُنَّ. You, the husband, treat them, one wife, two wives, three wives, four wives, bil ma'roof. Treat them with justice, with love, with equity. Turn the whole thing the other way around. You got your daughter married, and now she's living with your son-in-law, with her husband. Then he decided, you must remember, to take a second wife. And now he treats the second wife very well and ill-treats your daughter. What will you say about the situation? So you will be highly upset. Maybe you want to even assault him and so forth, or threaten him. But you're doing the same thing, brother. So remember that. That is the problem with us today. That for our own daughter, our own niece, granddaughter, we have different laws. But when it comes to our second wife, third wife, fourth wife, then there with one of the wives, normally you will find so much injustice going on, so much zulam, oppression going on. So remember, that's a condition. Otherwise, it's not permissible for you to marry her. So you must tell your wife that no, now you're going to make absolute justice, and you must be the one to apologize to your second wife, buy her some nice gifts and everything. Got nothing to do with Valentine, brother. All that is history. You must carry on with the geography now.
Well said, Ustad. Well said. I see anonymous sister says, I'm listening to you right now, dear Mufti Saab. My husband quoted a hadith. He says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, there will come a time where there will be 73 groups and 72 will enter Jahannam and one will enter Jannah. So my husband says, why are we making more and more groups? He's listening to you right now, Ustad. He's recording you, Ustad.
Remember, Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala spoke of the Sahaba radiallahu an in glowing, glowing terms. And when Musta Hadith is in Tirmidhi Sharif, which your husband is quoting, so which is the firqa and najiyah, the group that will be given salvation? So Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ma ana alayhi wa ashabi. That you follow my way and you follow the way of my beloved sahaba, the beloved students and companions of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, my brother, you must not confuse issues which you are doing now. So remember that we give you the answer from Quran and Sunnah. So I explained that hadith to you already. Now let's come to Quran Sharif. I quoted the hadith first because you mentioned the hadith. In Surah Yusuf, chapter number 12, Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala teaches us in verse number 108. Chapter 12, verse 108. Qul, say ya Rasul Allah Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadihi sabili. This is my way, my path, my road. Ad'u ila Allah, I invite humanity, I invite the jinn towards Allah. It means towards Islam, the majesty and the authority, sovereignty of Almighty Allah. So I invite people towards Allah Jalla wala. Allah basiratin, with firm conviction, ana, I. So that is sunnah. وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي and those who follow me immaculately. Chapter 12, verse 108. So from the word ana, we get the word sunnah. And from the word وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي, we receive and get and derive the word jama'ah, which first and foremost means the beloved sahaba. So we are the followers of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and sahaba. So we say ahlu sunnah wal jama'ah. Just now when the brother asked about the Shia, I said the kuffar. One reason I gave, I said they the one cursing, swearing, abusing the sahaba. So they are the guidance and the beacons of light. So you must remember that. So when a person belongs to ahlu sunnah wal jama'ah, so they are the party that will go to Jannah. But the way your rationale is, why are we making groups? So you will say Shafi is a group, Maliki is a group, Hanafi is a group, Hanbali is a group, this is a group, that is a group. So remember, my brother, you're confusing issues. What that hadith means is, those people on fundamental issues, on core issues, they are rejecting Quranic verses, they are rejecting the ahadith, like the Qadianis, Aga Khani, Shias, and all of them. They are the firq idala, the people who are astray, dwallu wa dwallu, and they lead other people astray also. But when you have differences of a subsidiary nature, secondary nature, so that is not only permissible, that is encouraged sometimes. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us in the noble Quran, one incident, same incident, two different verdicts, wa Dawood wa Sulaiman iz yahkumani fil harth. Remember one incident took place, the people came to Nabi Dawood alayhi salam, he passed the verdict. Thereafter they passed the chamber of Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam. He said, no, my verdict is different, but the issue is the same. So you must remember, so what did Almighty Allah says? Allah Ta'ala says, وَكُلًّا آتَيْنَا حُكْمًا وَإِلْمًا. Allah praised both of them, they both got knowledge, they both got nubuwwah, they both got everything, but the nearer to the truth, فَفَهَمْنَاهَا Sulaiman. We gave Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salatu salam the deeper, the profound understanding. Chapter 21, verses 78-79. So it shows on secondary issues, you can and you will have. In Islam, we don't say this one truth and the rest are batil and false. Nay, we say many a time there will be multiple truths. So multiple truths mean that is also right and this is also right. So here's the example. Allah is saying Nabi Dawood also is right and Nabi Sulaiman also is right. Although Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam's reasoning and verdict is much better, but both are accepted. So remember this. So you are considering that as a group which is wrong. So when the hadith is spoken about the group, it means on fundamental issues and not on secondary issues. And we must belong to the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, otherwise people go astray, like the Qadianis, the Shias, the Aga Khanis, and 101 other groups that are claiming to be Muslim today, but remember, they have nothing to do with Islam.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. I see Mawlana Malik from UK, Ustad, says that why some ulama don't like to be told the truth, and may Allah keep you always on haq, dear Mufti Sahab. Ustad,
remember, it's not only ulama, my brother, it's human nature. Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my brother Mawlana in UK, you know, you read Quran Sharif, Surah 21, verse number 107. So Almighty Allah states, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We did not send you, Ya Rasul Allah, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but as a mercy to the entire universe and creation. He, the Master alayhi salam, was, is, will always be the only رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Not only to humanity, but the entire universe and creation. So Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam addresses Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu and says that, Ya Abu Dharr, qulil haqqa walau kana murra. Speak the truth even though the truth is bitter. This is authentic hadith in Musnad Ahmad. So Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam is already telling us that, remember, the truth will be bitter and people might get upset. So see the surah which Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah said, hypothetically, for argument's sake, if the this surah alone was revealed, then it should suffice for humanity and for hidayat and so forth. Surah wal asri. So Almighty Allah speaks of the people who will be successful. Illa alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat. We have the iman, the faith and conviction in Almighty Allah, in Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in all the articles of faith. We continue with the righteous deeds, but Islam is not a religion for individuals only, for the society, community, the global international community. Watawaso bilhaq. Exhort one another, invite one another, call one another to the truth. Immediately after that, Allah says, watawaso bisabr, and exhort and invite one another towards patience. Because when the revelation started, it brought the biggest revolution. So when you speak the truth, then remember that there always will be some opposition, because they are feeling it and they know deep down it is the truth, but because they already beguiled and deceived so many people, so therefore it's difficult for them to accept the truth. And this is chapter 103, Surah Al-Asr, and comprising 3 verses. So every Muslim should read it, Sahaba when they used to meet, and then when time came for departure, then they used to read, Wal-Asr, innal insana lafi khusr, illa alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat, wa tawasaw bilhaqi wa tawasaw bisabr. You got work to do, I got work to do. Open Tafsir Ibn Kathir, you will find it. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, Mawlana Malik, that you said your name Mawlana Malik, so therefore I'm giving the name. So remember that, mal kibru ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is pride? What is arrogance? Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, batarul haq. Not to accept the truth, but to justify the wrong. Haq. So that is what it, and the people who are telling you, وَغَمْتُ النَّاسِ, you consider yourself superior. Who is this Lallu Panju? Who is the small guy telling me this? Doesn't he know who I am? So that is our mentality today, that you must remember, we think that people can't tell us the truth, and that is rejected. So pride, arrogance becomes the impediment for people to accept the truth. So therefore they follow the path of shaitan. Abba, he defied Allah, was takbara, and then he showed his arrogance, and then forever Allah kicked him out and expelled him. So people who adopt that stance, they are following Hizbu Shaitan, and then they will lead, they go astray, they are astray, dwallu wa dwallu. So that is why to embrace the truth, accept the truth, is of paramount importance. Remember that.
Anonymous says, I pay the bills, dear Mufti Saab, and all expenses in the house. My husband sleeps all day and I support him. Everything he says is takdir. So can I tell him it is takdir for me to divorce him? Anonymous says to Ustad.
So why have you spoiled him? Yet you spoiled him, you paying the rental, you paying the water lights, you paying for the food, you paying the maid, you paying this. So he said this is very good life. So now he's sitting on his laurels and thinking of Hadi. So you must remember that. So you spoiled him. So now he says he doesn't have to work. Then Corona came for him. His Corona is 2019, 2020, 2021. He says, I debo haru, let me just sleep. You understood? And relax and watch television. Hollywood, Bollywood, Robin Hood, Shaitan Hood. So all the Shaitan here. So you must tell him, you know what, now I'm going to make takdir become reality. I'm going to the ulama and applying for a fasakh, annulment of marriage. Why? Because you don't support me, you don't support the children, you don't do anything besides sleeping and watching television and so forth. And tell him that is part of the takdir also. Then see how he will shake up and wake up. So you must remember that. You divorcing won't have anything. You can divorce 100 times, the nikah will still be valid. So you, because your husband is not giving nafaqah, is not maintaining you, that's 100% valid ground for fasakh and annulment of marriage. So that will be our advice if you really want out of this marriage.
But sir, I like listening to your program, sir. It's very informative. However, it doesn't solve problems. Who do we non-Muslims go to for help? Can we come to Muslims for advice? Brother Kane, Ustad.
My brother Kane,
K-A-N-E, Cain.
Abel and Cain, Cain and Abel, fine. Mm. So my brother Cain, yes, it will not solve your problems because there is still that impediment to understand how to solve the problem. The person has to become a Muslim, you see. There were two brothers, Walid bin Walid and Khalid bin Walid. Walid bin Walid embraced Islam long time. But Khalid bin Walid, he was the most important and prominent general in Islam. But he embraced Islam only in the 8th year of the Hijrah, and in the 11th year, the Habib, the Master, the Prophet Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam's demise took place. So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam met Walid and told him, why don't you tell your brother Khalid? He's such an intelligent person, but he should embrace Islam. Mm. Then that word struck a chord with him, and then he embraced Islam. So you, my brother Cain, you should be honest to yourself. What is your impediment? What is the obstacle? Why don't you embrace Islam? You know that is not Islam you are seeing on your TV and your screens that are telling you Muslims are terrorists, Muslims are trigger happy. You saw some Muslims next to you in your town, in your city. We don't touch wine, we don't touch swine, we don't have boyfriend, we don't have girlfriend. We lead a pure, a chaste life, all with the mercy of Almighty Allah. So when you embrace Islam, then you have that inner conviction, and then you will see how Almighty Allah's help will come, how the solutions will come, because now you have embraced the message which the Messenger has given, and the religion which Almighty Allah made the religion for all the prophets and messengers. So you need that conviction, and then you will see the solutions. But now you don't have that conviction. So therefore, remember, my brother, what we tell you, you will see sometimes it works, sometimes it don't work. You know, in your town, there are 10 doctors, 20 doctors, but you only have confidence in one doctor. Mm. The others are also doctors, maybe more qualified, but your heart, your confidence is only in that one. So similarly, when you embrace Islam, then you will build up that confidence, and you will know my Creator has given all the solutions. So that is our invitation to you. Inshallah, now it's 12 o'clock, the news with Brother Yusuf Ali, thereafter Alpha Sinkosi, inshallah, were the current affairs, and 1 o'clock the Adhan, and 5 past 1 to 1:30 we'll continue with Surah Mu'minun, and thereafter 1:30 to 2 with Surah Nisa. Barakallahu feek. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, we will be sending out the podcast inshallah in another 1 or 2 or 3 hours time, inshallah. Up next, the 12 o'clock news.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.